Welcome to the Work Camper Show, brought to you by WorkCamper.com. This podcast helps you discover how to finance your RV travel dreams. Each one of our episodes will introduce you to people who are already living the RV lifestyle or to work camping opportunities all around the U.S. You'll also learn how to hit the road the right way and make the most of every opportunity. Now let's turn over today's show to your host, Greg Gerber.
Today I'm interviewing the vice president of one of the most popular museums in Elkhart, Indiana. It's a place RVers should visit whenever they pass through the area. Today's episode is sponsored by WorkCamper News. With its diamond and platinum membership tools, WorkCamper News is much more than just a job listing website. When you put the tools of this professional service into action, you'll find out just how easy it can be to turn your work camping dreams into reality. The one-year memberships open the door to a one-stop shop for all things work camping. Being the original resource for work camping, you'll find the largest number of job listings, be able to connect with the community of work campers, and view resources compiled by experts who've been enjoying the RV lifestyle for many years. If you're serious about leading a successful and enjoyable work camping lifestyle, then a Diamond or Platinum membership is for you. You can even get started with a free 30-day trial by visiting www.workcamper.com/trial. Embark on new adventures today with the support of WorkCamper News behind you. Ryan Zolarik is the Executive Vice President of the RVMH Hall of Fame, which chronicles the history of the recreation vehicle and manufactured housing industries, both of which have deep roots in the Elkhart area. There are a number of top-quality displays at the museum, a library of industry archives, and a Hall of Fame itself, which memorializes the 485 and counting men and women who built and transformed both thriving industries. There have been quite a few changes to the complex itself, especially in terms of expanding the adjacent event center to host rallies and industry meetings. To describe what visitors can expect when they visit the museum, please welcome Executive Vice President Ryan Zolarik to the show. Thanks for joining me today, Ryan. I really appreciate the time. Tell me a little bit about the RVMH Hall of Fame and what its mission is.
Greg, thank you so much for having me. And the RVMH Hall of Fame, first we'll start with the name. The RV stands for recreational vehicles, which I'm sure every one of your listeners is well familiar with. The MH stands for manufactured housing. And what we are is a Hall of Fame and a history preserve for both of those industries. We have a museum for both industries. And we have a Hall of Fame that inducts the pioneers, the innovators, the industry leaders from both industries. And our mission is to lift both of those sides of history and leaders up as much as we possibly can.
How many people are in the Hall of Fame or have been inducted into it?
That's a good question. I'm glad you asked because I just took the time to count all the plaques on the wall last week. I had the same question asked me recently. There are 485 members starting in 1972. On a normal year, there's five from both industries that are inducted. There's been a few, especially early on, where there was less than that, never more than that. And so since 1972, there's been 485 people inducted into our Hall of Fame.
That's impressive. And how are people inducted? Are they nominated by other members or can the general public nominate people?
The general public can nominate people. Anyone can nominate someone that they feel is worthy. The minimum requirement is 25 years in their respective industry. And we've had families that induct their father, their grandfather, or their mother, or their grandmother. And then we've also got the industry nominations where it's coming from companies to honor one of their employees that did an exceptional job throughout their career. If anybody needs any help nominating someone, then I'm the person that they reach out to. And there's an online process and there's a nomination form that talks about their career and asks some specific questions that fit into the criteria, of what it means to be a Hall of Famer. And then we ask for three letters of support from either a family member, a colleague, friend, and that sort of thing. And that's what it takes to nominate somebody. And then it's reviewed by an anonymous group of industry folk. And they select the class for the following year. And nominations stay valid for 5 years. And they love getting that phone call when they find out they've gotten the opportunity to be a Hall of Famer. So it's an exciting thing.
I can imagine. I've been to the museum a number of times. What do you do at the museum specifically? What's your role?
I'm actually the executive vice president, and in May will be my 11th year. I know I look a little young, but I started off when I was 20 years old, and my grandfather is actually the president of the Hall of Fame, and he started his career as a volunteer and still is to this day. He told the organization he'd give him 1 year. There was a bit of a financial situation that they were in upon opening. Here we are 12 years later, and we're thriving. And my role has changed a lot throughout the years. The first thing I ever did is we had a 1978 Trabco that sat out in front of the building, and I was given a power wash wand. And I went out and stood on top of the RV, and I power washed the whole thing to clean it up after the winter. And it's evolved now into managing the day-to-day operations. And yeah, I could talk about that a lot. We're a threefold operation. We're a Hall of Fame, we're a museum, and we're an event facility as well. And so we have employees that are designated to each area, and I'm in charge of the big picture and making sure that everything runs the way it's supposed to.
How is the museum funded?
That's a good question, Greg. And there's two parts to how it's funded. Actually, there's three parts to how it's funded. For one, ticket sales. We have people come in, and we have a very affordable museum, and we generate some income from just the guests. And this year, I'm actually pleased to announce that we broke our annual attendance record. We had 40,000 paid attendees go through, which remarkably is over 10,000 more than any other year in the past.
Wow.
And so that's part of it. A second part is we are a nonprofit, and there's a lot of industry retirees or people who are within the industries or people within the community that really support what the Hall of Fame exists for. And so we're able to receive donations and issue tax deductible receipts. And so that's a second part of where the funding comes from. And the third part is we have a flourishing event facility. It's called the Northern Indiana Event Center. And it actually, it's called Doing Business As. It exists under the umbrella of the RVMH Hall of Fame and Museum. And it's the third part of where the organization is funded from. We have roughly about 60,000 square feet of space that's rentable. And it's an incredible resource for our community, which, of course, being a part of the community and existing within the community, you want to provide something valuable for them. But it also is an incredible resource for the RV industry, more directly and more indirectly, the manufactured housing industry. And as many of you may know that tune into the podcast, within 50 miles of where the Hall of Fame exists, 85% of all the RVs in the entire world are manufactured. And so to have a facility that is able to host industry functions such as the Power Breakfast in May and trade shows and photo shoots and so forth, it's really nice for the industry. And also it does a lot in funding the organization so that we can further accomplish our mission statement, which ultimately that's why we exist. And so it's our threefold funding process. You've got your event rentals, you've got your donations, and you've got your museum admissions and gift shop.
When it comes to the RV displays, what kind of displays do you have at the museum?
That's a great question. We have over 60 antique RVs and set up in a bit of a showroom sort of display. And each one has got a description explaining what it is or if there's any special stories. Starts with the year 1919. It's a Ford Model T travel trailer that was kept in pristine condition. And it's recognized as being the world's oldest travel trailer that was put in, that was manufactured. And so there was a couple that had come up in garages that were a little bit older, but that was the first one that was manufactured to be sold to the public. And it goes all the way into about the mid 80s. With over 60 units, like I said, and each one of them is just so special. For me, that's my baby. I love the RV museum, and I love the collection that we have, and the guests do as well. There's something for everyone when they walk through there.
Now, all of the RVs are laid out uniquely so that it starts with that first one, the Model T, is that correct?
Yep, it's a Ford Model T travel trailer.
And then winds its way around as it watches the evolution of the RVs as they've developed and grow from that all the way into these monsters with slide outs.
Yes, and that's something that was really important for me. The nature of having a museum that is full of RVs, we've had donations come in with actual units throughout the year since 2007. And with the way we had them positioned, we maximized the room. And so for them to be in perfect chronological order while also getting donations throughout the year was difficult, because it's really hard to move 60 RVs, especially vintage ones that haven't moved in quite some time. We've been in the process for the last year and a half of building a brand new 36,000 square foot convention hall, which is going to be a very important thing for the Hall of Fame. And it was an important thing for the community. The demand was really high and we were being pushed by the community because they wanted to bring regional events to Elkhart instead of losing them to some of the other areas that surround us. And so we had an event last year. It's called the RV Supplier Show, where we host all of the supplier companies within the industry. And there's a huge open house with all the manufacturers and dealers in Elkhart, and it gave them a platform to show their product. And our hope was that this new facility would have been done. And it didn't happen, which was just fine. But we had to empty the RV museum for 2 weeks. And that was a blessing in disguise, because when we moved them out, we got the opportunity to move them into the new building, which didn't have an occupancy sticker yet. So they were safe and they weren't exposed to the elements. But I got to put pen to paper and lay out the museum where it was in perfect chronological order. And we moved everything back in. And so you truly get that experience of seeing the 1913 unit moving through the teens, moving through the 20s to the 50s. And when you see it laid out that way, it becomes very comprehensive for our museum guests to understand how the industry evolved.
That is so cool.
So it was something I was very excited about. It was a lot of hard work, but we got it done. And now our customers are more happy than they've ever been.
Are there displays for suppliers as well? So like the people who make the components that go inside the RV?
Yes. So I'll give you a little bit more background on what that event is. And that is a huge fundraiser for the Hall of Fame. And it's going to be very important for our future. Like I've said a couple times already in this conversation, our goal is to make the museum as great as we possibly can, to make the experience continue to evolve so that when people come year after year, they are always excited by the next thing. And our goal is to honor the pioneers and the Hall of Famers as well as we possibly can. That's what we exist to do. We want to be the crown jewel of the industries. And really, we exist in an unselfish way to provide something that everybody can be proud of. So having said that, there's an open house that happens every year in September, where you have 10,000 dealers come to Elkhart. And because all of the RVs are manufactured within 50 miles of the Hall of Fame, it just makes sense to bring everyone to you instead of send all of your product outward. And so it's a large show. The dealers sign all of their deals for the next year to fill their lots with product they're going to sell to people like who would be listening to your podcast. And so the problem with that was there was no platform for the supplier companies to have their voice be heard. People came for a specific reason. It was dealers. They wanted to stock their lots. And unless there was a platform that was convenient for them, they weren't going to go around town and visit displays for suppliers. And so the Hall of Fame capitalized on that. And we now host over 150 companies during that span. And it's a booth trade show style. And there's, I think this year it's been upgraded to 250 booths with the addition of the 36,000 square foot convention hall. And yeah, like you said, they're showing all kinds of products, from the appliances to hydraulic lifts to just about every little product or detail that goes into an RV that's over and beyond just the shell and the engine.
That's the big show that you have for the suppliers. Are there any exhibits at the Hall of Fame during regular hours that pertain to the suppliers and the components that are inside the RVs and how they developed? Like, how did the leveling jack come about?
There are, actually, and that's something that I'm really centering back in on. I don't want to say it's been neglected, but I guess that's the best word I can come up with. And so we've actually formed some partnerships here just recently with new companies, and there's permanent displays that they can go in that are more designed for our consumers of the museum rather than a trade show style display, which was where I felt like it was lacking in the past, is the message of what they were trying to accomplish with these spaces was more geared towards a trade show industry relation. And that's just not the customers that we get. And so I went back to the drawing board and reimagined how I wanted these displays to be set up with the suppliers. And the main thing was interaction and history. I wanted these companies to tell the history of where they came from and why they are where they are today. And I also wanted them to incorporate some kind of interactive feature so that the customers that we have don't just walk through what seems like a trade showroom. And instead, it feels like an extension of the museum and special exhibits that are entertaining. I call my famous word is edumatainment, educating entertainment. And so that's really the goal with that part of our museum. And things are going really well and they're taking it to heart and they're understanding the goal. And so we've got some displays that are being built right now and we're excited for when customers get to see them.
Do you still have a library that's open to the public? And if so, what's in it?
We do. We have a library that now in our video, when you come into our museum, which is just slightly outdated, it says there's over 25,000 periodicals, articles, books, magazines, 25,000 pieces of literature. And that number is growing now to more closer to 35,000. And it's historical journals, magazines, whether consumer or industry related. And my dream for that library would be to digitalize it. I want it to be a public resource that's available for research. We have a lot of students that will come in that for whatever reason, they're doing research on either the manufactured housing industry or the RV industry or Elkhart in general. And obviously that leads to the two industries as to what makes Elkhart. And so a lot of them have to travel great distances. They need to set up travel. There's a lot of costs that are involved. And I would like to bring it right to their computer screen. That would be my dream.
That's really neat. Then you have a gift shop, I'm assuming, in the RV Hall of Fame.
We do. The gift shop is really growing. It really came to fruition about 10 years ago, where we started to focus more on the gift shop. And the key with the gift shop is to listen to our customers. They're full of ideas. They're creative people. Obviously, a lot of them are full-time RVers that utilize our Harvest Host feature, where they can stay on the property for free overnight. And so they're very, by nature, they're very creative people, and they love their knickknacks. They love their special treats. We've learned so much from our customers, from pillows to you name it, stakes that you stick in the ground that are a coaster for your drink while you're sitting by the fire. And so we're always paying attention. If anyone is willing to, we ask them if they'd fill out surveys to just what kind of things do you think would be neat to see in there. And so we have an administrative manager in the museum side, Kelsey McDaniel, and she's done a great job of stocking the inventory and listening to the customers and keeps growing. And it always will.
So, did you mention RV parking? Because that was my next question. Is the parking lot, gotcha. Will that accommodate big rigs?
We are a Harvest Host, and we have over 1.1 million square feet of asphalt on our property. The east part of the property is set up for rallies. It's laid out for rallies. And yes, we can absolutely handle. There's never been a time where we've had to turn away somebody who wanted to come and stay dry camp overnight. And actually this past year, we started a program where we allow customers to come into the gift shop and they can ask if they can rent the electric and get water and use our dump station. And it's a very small fee. Nothing compared to staying in the campgrounds. Our whole goal is to make it convenient and affordable for everybody that comes.
Do you have any idea what it costs to spend the night at the Hall of Fame?
If you wanted to spend the night in dry camp, the only thing we ask, and we do it through Harvest Host, but we also take phone calls and we never turn anybody away. The only thing we ask is if it's in your power, if you could come visit the museum, you would really appreciate that. There's been a few times where it just wasn't in the cards, and we're as accommodating to those folks as we would be to somebody who would come to the museum, because we just appreciate people and we appreciate people who use their RVs. And I think the fee to rent their electric is $20 for the evening, and to use the dump station and fill up the water tank is $10. So it'd be a $30 fee if you wanted to use those resources.
And where is the Hall of Fame located specifically?
The Hall of Fame is located in Elkhart, Indiana. which is about 15 miles west of South Bend, Notre Dame country. And it's just off of the 8090 toll road, just off exit 96. Once you get off the exit, it's about a mile drive south and then a half a mile drive east, and you're there.
You can't miss it when you're on the highway.
Yes, and the days are starting to come where we don't get the famous question or famous statement anymore. And it used to be we would have people come in and they'd say, I drove past this place for years and I had no idea what it was. And now our brand has expanded and the knowledge of our existence has expanded. And so we get people coming in who know exactly what we are and what we do. But there was a many years when I was working there, especially early on, where I'd get that famous statement. We just decided to stop to see what this building is. We had no idea that this was inside, and this blew us away compared to what we were imagining. And that was fun always to be a pleasant surprise for customers. But of course, we do want people to know that we exist and what we have to offer.
Where can people get more information about our Hall of Fame?
On our website, www.rvmhhalloffame.org. All the information that you'd ever want or need would be on the website, or just call the museum. Any one of us, we're all passionate about it. We'll talk your ear off. And then by the time you get done talking to somebody who works here at the museum, you'll have all the information you need and way more probably.
Can people take a virtual tour on the website?
Our inventory is online. That's something that I've thought a lot about, is doing the virtual tour. And I don't want to lose the wow factor when somebody comes in person. But there are people who are interested in knowing what our inventory is ahead of time. And that is, there is a catalog on our website. Okay. So you can see what RVs we have.
Last question. What's the admission to come in and visit the Hall of Fame?
The admission to come in and visit the Hall of Fame is $15 for adults, $10 for kids 16 and under. And then there's a family rate. It's designed for families and it makes it affordable for everyone.
Very good. Thank you so much, Ryan. I really appreciate the time. This has been fun and interesting hearing about the Hall of Fame and all the things that you folks do. So I wish you the best of luck, and I encourage anyone who's in the Indiana area to make the stop. It is well worth the trip.
Thank you so much, Craig. I really appreciate you having me on, and I will second that. If you're ever going through this part of town, maybe heading across the country on the highway, make the stop. It'll be worth it, and you'll be glad that you did.
I'm grateful Ryan Zalarik, the Executive Vice President of the RVMH Hall of Fame, took time to come on the show today to describe all the interesting things at the museum in Elkhart, Indiana. I've been to the Hall of Fame and its adjacent event center multiple times over my career in the RV industry. For an RVer, it's a fun place to visit. You can see how RVs have evolved from very basic trailers hauling equipment supplies to the multi-slide juggernauts they are today. More than 40,000 people toured the facility in 2023, which was an all-time record for the museum, and 10,000 more visitors than the year before. The museum is home to more than 60 modern and unique recreation vehicles, including a 1913 Ford Model T travel trailer, which is recognized as the world's oldest RV. To view them, people walk along a pathway to see how RVs have progressed over the years. People can also walk through the museum to view photos of nearly 500 people who've been inducted into the Hall of Fame for their contributions to advancing their respective companies and the industry in general. The library has close to 35,000 books, magazines, and other publications about the RV and manufactured housing industries, including those that I had the privilege of editing for several years. The gift shop offers fun knickknacks, clothing, and gift items, as well as some equipment that can help make the RV lifestyle even more fun. Best of all, as a Harvest host site, people can spend the night for free by dry camping on 1.1 million square feet of asphalt. All the museum asks is that, if possible, people pay to tour the museum or pick something up from the gift shop. For more information about the museum and what it contains, visit www.rvmhhalloffame.org. Visiting truly is worth the time. Today's episode is brought to you by the featured employers at WorkCamper.com. These employers have taken the extra step to share some photos and detailed information about their WorkCamper programs. Opportunities exist for solos, couples, and families, whether they are full-time, part-time, seasonal, and even long-term jobs. Some are income opportunities, and others involve volunteering at locations throughout the United States. Go to workcamper.com/FE to meet the featured employers today. Employers who are seeking to hire work campers can learn about the benefits of year-round recruiting by becoming a featured employer. More information about them are available at workcamper.com/FE details. That's all for this week's show. Next time, I'll be speaking with a couple of financial planners who found a rather unique ways to give back to the communities they visit. I'll have that interview on the next episode of The Work Camper Show. Thanks for listening.